Good morning, everyone. I hope I am being heard. I'm doing something a little different with my phone over here because my mic needs a repair. If you don't hear me, I guess someone should send me a text just to make sure that I'm being heard. I didn't hear a response before. Okay, welcome everyone. We're holding in our Mashiach Geula class. We're in the... Okay, perfect. Thank you. So in our Mashiach and Geula class, we are in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha at the Bris Milah, the name changes of Avram Avinu and Sarah. And we are exploring this to see what's the Mashiach connection. What's the thread of Mashiach that runs through this parsha? Okay, so again, as I mentioned in the earlier classes, it would be preferable if you follow with a chumash, because then things will be much clearer. So when the Eibishter introduces the bris milah, so Hashem gives Avram Avinu a bunch of brachas, a whole bunch of brachas related to the bris. Vayipar Lavram in Perek Yud Zayin. So this is in chapter Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17, Pasuk Gimel. It says Vayipar Avram al pano vaydaber itayol lekim lemer. Avram falls on his face and Hashem speaks to him saying, Ani hinei berisi itach. I behold my covenant is with you. Vayisol Avram moin goyim, and you're going to be a father to multitudes of nations. Velo yikare oide shimcha Avram. Your name is not going to be anymore Avram. Your name is going to be Avraham, because a father to multitudes of nations I have given you. So we have over here the Indian. The first idea is that Avram has a name change, and that his name is being changed from Avram to Avraham. Now that Indian of Avram's change from Avram to Avraham is a very Mashiach the Indian, as we're going to see in a few moments. That relates to the futuristic idea. Then it continues. So that's one Indian. That Hashem promises Avram, he makes a change in his name, and he tells him he's going to be a father of nations. Now, simply, just in a simple way, the idea that Avram is a father of all the nations in the world is really only going to come to its full fruition when Mashiach will come, because that's when all the nations will see. First of all, the entire world will accept the Amunah of Avram Avinu, a monotheistic belief. And not only that, but that Yidden are going to be the father of the world. Ava Moin Goyim Nesaticha, that the world is going to be Makabel, the Jewish people, as their father, as their mentor, as their guide, and as their teacher, as their inspiration. That is, on just among the simplest of levels, that Vaho Yeshimcha Avram, your name is going to be Avraham. But then Hashem promises him also, "V'freisi oischa b'ma'oid ma'oid," I'm going to increase you to be very, very much, as we're going to see soon. That itself, ma'oid ma'oid, is also shayach, is also connected to the geula asida. That's when bepashtis. That's when, first of all, that's when it's going to be fulfilled. This that Hashem promised the avos, that the Jewish people will not be able to be counted. That's going to be only after Mashiach comes. The Gemara talks about a woman giving birth every single day. So, I mean, and the increase of Yidden, it was never really in Jewish history, we never really had a time when Yidden were so much to the point that you can't count them. That's going to be v'freisi oischa b'ma'oid ma'oid. But particularly, the word ma'oid ma'oid is related to the state of the Jewish people and the state of Kedusha in this world, as it's going to be after Mashiach comes. It's not only going to be ma'oid, it's going to be ma'oid ma'oid. We mentioned many times that Moshiach is the same words as he is the neshama of Adam Arishain. Because Adam stands for Adam, David, Moshiach. But the only difference is that by Adam, the word Adam is read Adam. When Moshiach comes, the word Adam is going to switch, the letters are going to be rearranged, it's going to be Ma'od. Ma'od means very, very, very much, which really means beligavul, limitless. So over here you have a hint to that, as the pasuk says, "Vehifreisi oischa b'ma'oid ma'oid," and then "V'nasaticha l'goyim," I will give you to nations. So Rashi says it's referring to Yaakov and Esav, or Yisrael and Edom, rather, the Jews and Edom, which needs clarification, because what is the great bracha that Hashem benches Avram Avinu that Edom is going to come out of him? Edom is Rome, and Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Rome brought such tzaddis and such devastation to the world, such destruction. How much we the Jewish people suffered from Edom, and this is the bracha that Hashem gives Avram by the Bris Milah. So obviously we have to dig a little deeper, but again this too is Mashiach dig, because this is referring to the state of Esav, the state of Edom after Mashiach comes, as we're going to see soon. And of course, Umalachim Emcha Yetzeyu, that kings will come out of you, is referring to a bracha for Malchus Beis David, that kings will come out, the Melech that we're referring to over here. There are many kings coming from Avram Avinu, but what is really being told about Avram Avinu is that Melech HaMashiach is going to come from Avram, and that's Malachim Emcha Yetzeyu. Then we continue, and Hashem gives him a bracha of a Kemoisi Es Brisi. I'm going to establish my covenant between me and you. And your future generations forever, l'bris olam, for everlasting covenant, liyos l'cha l'loikim, to be to you for a god, l'zachrecha achrecha, for your children after you. And then a pasuk ches, v'nasati l'cha l'zaracha achrecha es eretz megurecha, that Hashem promises Avram Avinu, I will give you the land in which you live, es kol eretz Canaan, the entire land of Canaan, l'achuzas olam, for a everlasting inheritance. Vayisi lahem l'loikim, I will be to you for a god. So you have a bracha over here for children and for a great nation. You have a bracha over here for the giving of the land, and then there's another Indian that Hashem gives a bracha of Vayisi lahem l'elokim, I will be to you for a god. So here there is a Rabbeinu Bachaya, a very, very special Indian, in which he points out that the promises that were given to Avram Avinu by Bris Milah are three promises of eternity, three things that are fundamental to the ultimate geula shalema, to the ultimate state of the world, and the final achievement. So he says like this: the three brachas are, we have a bracha for eternal kingdom, and that's Malchus Beis David. It's the only royal family that is going to survive all challenges. I mean, the Jewish people and Malchus Beis David had gone into exile and gone through challenge after challenge. There were times that there were threats both to the Yidden and to the Davidic dynasty. As we when we say Kiddush Levana every Matzah Shabbos, we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and we know that today is Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is the Moilad HaLevana, which Moilad HaLevana, besides it being the birth of the Jewish people, is also the birth of Malchus Beis David. When there is Chas V'Shalom a thought that there could be a hefsek, there could be an interruption in Malchus Beis David, and there's a moment of confusion, there's a moment of darkness, like Erev Rosh Chodesh, when we don't see, as it says by David HaMelech, V'nifkadeto ki yipaket mashavecha, your seat, David HaMelech's seat, is empty, is vacant, there's absence, but then he comes back even stronger than before, which is the Inyan of Rosh Chodesh, which by the way is also connected to today with Rosh Chodesh Kislev, because over here too we had a hefsek and a heart attack of the Rebbe, as we know the Rebbe is from Malchus Beis David, and we know there is a hefsek, there was what seemed to have been a threat to his health, and then he came back on Rosh Chodesh Kislev swinging so much more powerful than before for the last thrust to bring about the coming of Mashiach. So this Inyan has to do with Moilad HaLevana. So this promise of the eternity of Malchus Beis David, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, it was given by Bris Milah. This is the first time Hashem promises that the Jewish people are going to have kings forever. He says that's the Bris that Hashem makes, U'melachim Mimcha Yetzeu. And it's shayach to the Bris Milah, because just like because a Bris means a covenant, and B'negeya to David HaMelech, you see there is a covenant, as it says, Karati Bris Libechiri, I've sealed a covenant to the chosen one, which is referring to David HaMelech. So by the Bris Milah of Avram, Hashem is connecting that Bris to this promise of Malchus Beis David of Melachim Mimcha Yetzeu. That's number one. The second Inyan that Hashem promised over here, which is again related to Yemos HaMashiach, is the giving of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is going to be a Jewish land, and it's promised and given to Yidden as a chuzas oilam la'am oilam, as an internal inheritance for an internal people. Eretz Yisrael will always be ours. And Rabbeinu Bachaya goes on to say so far that even if Chas V'Shalom, there is a time that Jewish people have been driven out of Eretz Yisrael, he says no nation in the world ever found, was able to settle the land. People tried, they made efforts, and it didn't work for them. Eretz Yisrael is inhospitable to the nations of the world because Eretz Yisrael is given bedavka to Yidden. And that's the Pasuk Ches. It says, V'nachzati l'chol zaracha achrecha es eretz migurecha, I will give to you and to your children the land of your inheritance. It's called eretz l'achuzas oilam, for eternal edifice. So that's an eternal inheritance. So that's the second bracha, that Yidden are going to have Eretz Yisrael la'ad u'l'neitzach netzachim. So as much as the whole world is in an uproar and a challenge, and we see the challenge to some degree now more than ever before, but we have the promise from Bris Milah that, number one, Malchus Beis David is going to last forever, and Eretz Yisrael is also going to be in for the Jewish people forever. And finally, and Rabbeinu Bachai, actually, I think he adds it over here, and I'm not sure, but as Kol Eretz Canaan, the entire land of Canaan, means that ultimately, as we spoke in earlier classes, like by the Bris Ben Absadim, that in the future we're going to have the entire Eretz Yisrael, not just Eretz Yisrael as it is today, which is referring to the three other nations of Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni. All that is promised, Lachuzas Oilam, for the Jewish people. And finally, the last thing, which is part of this eternal promise for Yidden forever, is V'hayisi Lahem Laloikim, that Hashem promises that the Shechino will dwell amongst the Jewish people, and that too is La'ad u'l'neitzach netzachim, that Hashem will never ever choose another nation to be Shire, like to be His people, but Hashem will be Shechein amongst the Jewish people forever. So that's the third inyan, V'hayisi Lahem Laloikim. So you have the three promises, Negeya, very much for the Shleima Sa'aretz, Malchus Beis David, and Hashras Hashchina amongst the Jewish people forever. Now, going back a little bit, we spoke last week the significance of this name change. And Hashem changes Avram Avinu's name, and he calls him Avram, and then he changes his name and he calls him Avraham, from Avram to Avraham. Now, last year, we discussed something that the Alter Rebbe says in the Siddur, in Shar HaMilah. In the Siddur, Shar HaMilah, he discusses this idea, what's the significance of the change of Avram being Avram and Avraham. I'm just going to chazer one nakuda, one little point that we had mentioned then, and just a very important to understand the whole inyan of Bris Milah, why it is so fundamental, and why Bris Milah is like at the very, very core of the coming of Mashiach. This covenant that the Eibishter makes. The difference between the name of Avram and Avraham is a hey, of course. The hey with Avram is without a hey, and Avraham is with a hey. But so what is the deeper meaning? Is Avram, Chazal tell us, Avram means Av, you're a father, Ram. So Rashi says it means you're a father only for Aram. But in Chassidus it says, Avram, you're an exalted father. The two of them are really connected. Aram is referring to the Jewish people, because Aram means an exalted people. So before the Bris Milah, the Kedusha of Avram Avinu, the holiness, Avram's influence and effect is only in his immediate family. And when Mashiach will come, and then in the future, now that Avram has his Bris Milah, he's Av Hamoin Goyim. He's a father for the nations, which means his influence extends far and wide. It becomes global. Av Hamoin Goyim, he becomes the leader of all nations. So a little bit deeper than that, as we learned last time, the inyan of Avram means Hashem is the father. What's father? Father represents makar, source. A child comes from his father. The father is the sheirish. The father is the makar. What's the mucker of the world? What's the source of creation? What's the source of existence? The source of existence, the father, is Avinu Malkeinu. Right? The Eibishter is the Av of the whole world. He's the father of the whole world. Avram means that the Father, God, who is the Father of the world, is in a state of roimamus. Roimamus means in a state of detachment. Like we said today in Hallel, Ram al kol goyim Hashem. That the nations of the world may be our maskim. Maybe they agree to some level that there is a God who ultimately created the world, but God is not really imminent. He's not present. He's not involved. And I don't have to take him into consideration when I make my choices in my private life and what I do and how I behave. The Eibishter doesn't have to come into consideration because God is a distant entity that's way back then, or Chas V'Shalom, because of the Roimamus of the Av, you can even have people that deny the Creator altogether. So that's the Inyan of Avram. The reason why the world is in a state, the reason why things are in a state where the Eibishter is Ram, removed, separated from the Olam, from the world, from the consciousness of the creations, is because of the Arla. The idea of Arla is that it's Chayfef on the Bris. What's the Bris? The Bris is the power of, that's the power of procreation. That's where a person creates a child, which means the Eibishter's power and influence that he bestows into creation to create Yesh Me'ayin, to create this magnificent world. It's all a hamshacha from Sfiras HaYesoid, where Yesoid is mashpia to Malchus. Malchus is referring to the creation, as we learned so many times. Malchus is the creation, Malchus is the world. And there is the Arla means there is a machitza, there is a separation that separates between the creator and the creation, not allowing the creation to perceive who is its Av. Just like we mentioned it last week, it's like you have so many families, broken in the world, where you have so many children and they have no idea who the father is. And the same say and sense, it's telling of a world that doesn't know who its father is. Avram Avinu, we know, is the first one who begins to teach the world that Yesh Bel Abayis Labirazu, there's a creator who creates this world. He's Megala, the Av, to the creation. Therefore, Avram Avinu is given the Bris Mila, in which he has to remove this Arla that's covering on the Yesoid, which really means that which is covering on the Av, on the Father, that the world should not feel distant, removed from its Av, and instead Hashem should not be Avram, exalted, removed, separated from the creation, but instead it should be Avraham, that Av Hamoyin Goyim, that Hashem is the Father, not only for the Jewish people, but Bayoimahu Yia Hashem Achad V'Hoy Hashem L'Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, that all of humanity, all of the world should perceive Hashem, and should be bottled to the Eibishter. For that, the Eibishter has to become Av HaMoin Goyim, the father of all nations, coming through. And who's the one who does that? Avraham. And that's why also the name that is added, the letter that is added to Avram, is a Hey, because Hey is Malchus. Hey is, like it says, Eile Tol Deshamayim V'Oretz, Bihi Baram, these are the offspring of heaven and earth when he created it. And Chazal say, Behei Baram, that Hashem created the world with a hay. Why? Because a hay is a breath. Like a hay is the sound of breath. And hay in general represents the world of speech. We can learn in Tanya that there are five organs of speech. Hay is number five. So five organs, that's the hay. So hay is Malchus, that's the breath. That's the sustaining power of God that's within the creation. That's the creation. Now, Avram, the state of Avram means that Yesoid is separated from Malchus. There is a block that the creation, the hay, is not perceiving where it's receiving its hashpah from. Now, and that's why it's Avram, the father is removed. Now when it becomes, you remove the Arla, when you remove the Arla, then the Av could be Nizgala in the Hay, and that's Behei Baram, in the Hay that Hashem created it, and that will also explain why it also says Behei Baram is Isis Avraham, because Avram Avinu brings together this Inyan of Mashpia and Makabel, the giver and the receiver, that the world and the Eibishter should be unified together. That means that the world should acknowledge, feel, recognize, and be surrendered to their source, two elokos. So that's why bris milah is really what is pivotal, a pivotal inyan in bringing in see, all of Torah and mitzvahs is only taking the concept of bris milah and expressing it in all the details of the world. That's why we know that the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people that is similar to the mitzvahs that are after Matan Torah is bris milah, because every other mitzvah, even though Avram Avinu did all the mitzvahs, he wasn't commanded for it. But the first mitzvah that Avram was commanded was the mitzvah of bris milah. Why? Because bris milah is the shirish or makar for all the other mitzvahs. Because what bris milah does is what every mitzvah is supposed to do. It's just that every mitzvah does it in specific details, in the pratim, in the details of the world. And bris milah represents the general hischabros, the general attachment of the lukus, of the father, of Av, to the olamais, to hamoin goyim, that the two of them come together. And that's what's so powerful about bris milah. That's why also it says that if anybody today's days calls Avraham, if anybody calls Avraham Avram, he's over in Aseh. We're not allowed to call Avraham Avram, because if you call him Avram without the hey, and it says the reason is because it says Vahaya Shimcha Avram. Since the pasuk emphasized Vahaya, Vahaya means it should be, this is the way it is, and therefore you can't play around with it. This is set in stone. Vahaya it needs to be. Now, so what does that mean? What's a deeper understanding of the idea that because it says Vahaya, it is for that reason that, because it says Vahaya, it is for that reason that you now let it change. Benegay it to another name change. Benegay it to the change of Yaakov, Yisrael and Yaakov. Yaakov's name is Yaakov. And then his name is changed to Yisrael. Over there, we know that you're allowed to, we continue calling Yaakov Yaakov. But by Avram, you're not allowed to. Because it says, Vahaya Shimcha Avram. So what is the idea? And the idea is connected to what we had just mentioned. The name Avram, being Avram, represents a chibur, an attachment of Elokus with Olamos, of the worlds with the Eibishter, which is something that is not Chas V'Shalom, a thing that can revert back. Once Avram Avinu tore away the Orla, peeled away the foreskin, made this connection, this inyan becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until it will fully, fully blast through every blockage, and the Eibishter will be Av Amoin Goyim. So you're not allowed to go back ever to the state of Avram. Elokus, godliness, is not allowed to become back Ram, exalted over the world. From it has to permeate deeper every day, more and more and more than what it was before. That is also hinted to in the word Vahaya. The Tzemach Tzedek says that Vahaya is the letters Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's only that instead of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Vav-Kei, the latter letters, the Vav and the Hey, is before the Yud-Kei. And what does that mean? So the idea is as follows. The reason why godliness is so minimal and so reduced, so to speak, in the creation. The reason why there was an Avram, that the Creator is not felt in the creations, that is because the way Hashem chose to create the world is through a system of 10 Sefirois, which the 10 Sefirois are connected to the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And we know that the Yud and the Hey, in the first two letters of God's name, in the Yud and the Hey, over there, the divine light is very, very powerful, very strong, very pronounced. But when, as it continues on to the Vav-Kei, it gets weaker and less and less and less. Until by the time it reaches the latter Hey, it is already so diminished that it's possible that in the world of the Hey, of the latter Hey of Hashem's name, the world of Malchus, there is no Gilui Or, there is no Lichtigkeit, there's darkness, there's only concealment. Our Avoda is that through our Torah and Mitzvahs, we cause an intensified flow from the Yud into the Hey, and then further down into the Vav, that the Vav should not be diminishing the light, that the Vav should transmit the light with the same power like the Yud transmits into the Hey. The Vav that's transmitting later into the latter Hey, it shouldn't be any weaker, it shouldn't be diminished, it should be in its full power. When will that be to its fullest? When Mashiach will come, that's when the Yud-Kei and the Vav-Kei will be one continuous flow without any interruptions, without any separations. That's the meaning of Vahaya. Vahaya means that the Vav and the He is on the same level as Yud-Kei. Not only that, they actually stand before Yud-Kei. Vav-Kei, Yud-Kei. That's Vahaya. That's why it says that all the prophecies B'negeya to the future redemption is all mentioned with Vahaya. Vahaya b'yoymahu yitaka b'shoifer gadol. That's one prophecy. There is a prophecy B'negeya Vahaya havaya lila l'kim, and Hashem will be to me as a God. So many others prophecies are all introduced with Vahaya. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, because Vahaya is the inner dynamics that will make Mashiach's world so godly, so unified with its source, is that Malchus, which is the latter Hay, will be on the same level like a Bina, which is the first Hay. Or sometimes in different Kabbalistic terminology, Alma de Isgalia, the revealed world, will have the same godly consciousness as Alma de Iskasia, like the concealed world. The concealed world is Chachman, Bina, is the source of the concealed worlds, a place where godliness is so powerful, so revealed, that the worlds are not sensed. Everything is bottled to its source. The revealed worlds, what happens? The worlds are revealed, but Hashem is concealed. But when Mashiach will come, the lower worlds will be in the same light like the higher worlds. So it's going to be Vahaya. That's why when it comes to Avraham, what does Hashem say? Vahaya Shimcha Avram. Vahaya, which means your name being Avram, which means that the Av, the father, the power of Elokus, will be shining in the Hay of Avram, is the latter Hay. The father will shine in the Hay, which means the world will receive the full revelation of godliness because there is no more Arla. That is related to the state of the world when Mashiach comes, when it's going to be Vahaya. And because of that, that's something that you can't change anymore. That's forever. That's why if you go back to call Avraham, Avram, you're over an Asay. So says the Tzemach Tzedek. Now here's another very special idea. We mentioned earlier that Avram Avinu, if you call Avraham, you call him Avram, it's a problem. But if you call Yaakov, you call Yaakov, it's okay, even though Yaakov had a change and his name is Yisrael. But by Yaakov, you're allowed to call him Yaakov. And the Gemara asks why. The Gemara says, because you see that the Pasuk continues calling Yaakov, Yaakov, but we never find that after Hashem changed Avram Avinu's name to Avraham, we never find that Hashem refers to him again as Avram, only Avraham. Okay, but let's understand why that is. So here is a very, very interesting idea. This is from the Tzemach, not the Tzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzadik, which was another great Chassidish Rebbe from the dynasty of Vizhnitz and the origins. Over there, he says a gewaldig inyan and the difference between these two names. Because the Gemara Rashi tells us that one of the reasons why Avram's name is Avraham is because before his bris milah, see, Avraham is gematria, Ramach, 248. The word Avraham is 248. Why was his name Avram? So it says that before Tulus Bris Mila, godliness did not fully permeate the guf completely. That's why Avram did not have full control over his eyes and over his ears. Two eyes and his ears and his Bris Mila. That's what it says. Now that you did the Bris Mila, what happened? You have become fully in control of your eyes, your ears, and his Bris, so that together it is another five. So now your name is, Rashi brings it, that's why your name is now Avraham, which means the chibur, the attachment of the guv gashmi, the physical body, with the neshama, with godliness, is when during the bris milah by Avram Avinu. And that's why basically we also know that Rebbe says in Lakut HaSichos, an interesting idea, that in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe brings, that when does the nefesh elokis, when does the godly soul settle in the body? It settles in the body two times. The first time, beginning of the settling of the nefesh elokis into the body, the godly soul, is by a boy, at least, by his bris milah. And then during the time of chinuch, when you mechanechim for payas and tzitzis, when he's 3 years old, is an upsharon. That's when the neshama fully settles in the body, and the complete gemar, complete of complete, is by the bar mitzvah, and that's the time of the complete fusion of body and soul. So that makes sense with what we're saying now over here, that by Avram Avinu as well, he had to wait till he was 99 for his body to become permeated with the light of the neshama. We're given already the gift that we can achieve it right when, because we're children of Avraham Avinu, and he did already the hard work. We're already almost born with that Maila, that when we have the bris milah by 8 days old, we can achieve a complete fusion of body and soul. That's why it says in Gemara that from when on, what does it take for a yid to be zeichet for tchias ha-mesim, for the resurrection of the dead? So it says that if a baby is born in this world, because here's the thing, in order to have tchias ha-mesim, obviously, tchias ha-mesim means that the body comes back alive. So obviously, it can only be a neshama that was once in a body. A neshama that was not in a body, a neshama that was never born, can't have tchias ha-mesim. That's why we know every neshama has to come down. But what does it take, the Gemara says, for a person to have tchias ha-mesim? If he had a bris milah, then he for sure has tchias ha-mesim. That means from his 8 days old, if he survived till his bris, and he's able to have a bris milah, chas v'shalom, something happens afterwards, but still this child is going to have tchias ha-mesim. Why? Because tchias ha-mesim comes from the idea that the neshama has fully permeated the body, and the body becomes an entity of kedusha. And once the body is kedusha, what is kedusha? Kedusha means attached to God, and just like God is alive, just like Hashem is alive, so to and Hashem is eternally alive, so to the body, once it touches eternity, will also live forever and ever. So it makes sense. It has to do with the idea of Avraham. Now being called Avraham, which means his eyes, his ears, his bris, fully integrated with godliness. Okay. So what comes out? The naming of Avraham to be called Avraham represents a connection of Gashmi and Ruchni. Matter and spirit are fused together. But it's only benegeya to the person himself. It's not so much negeya as much to the outside world. Obviously, it has to be to some degree, because when Avram was called Avram, what it meant was that he was able to influence the nations as well, as we spoke last week, two weeks ago, when it says Avraham, Avam Oingoya means Avram became a magnet for Gerim, for converts, that converts are drawn now to him. So obviously, even Avraham is a very powerful beacon of light. Once he has his bris milah, his light became so intensified that now he can draw converts, goyim, to become yidden. But Avram accomplishes that in a limited way. The real hero in the ability of taking the nations of the world and converting them completely is really Yaakov's avoda, Avram's grandson. Yaakov is the one who his name is Yaakov because he's biyadoi, it's this week's parsha, biyadoi ochezes ba'akev Esav. He's holding on to Esav, and he's holding on not just to Esav, but he's holding on to the heel of Esav. As the Rebbe explains many times, the heel of Esav himself represents a very coarse entity. The heels of Esav is like Esav at his lowest, and yet Yaakov is holding on to the akev of Esav. And according to Chassidus, what does it mean? His hand is holding. It's not just that his hand is holding on, but viyadoi comes from the word viyud. Viyadoi, viyud. That means yud is the power of bittel. That a yid has such power, Yaakov has such power, that he's able to bring the yud of who? The yud, the bittel to Hashem. The total nullification and recognition of God to the point where you're so bottle and you become a tiny little yud, like Yaakov says, katainti, I'm small, I'm tiny. This yud is Ichezes, it holds on by cave, not only in Esav, but in a cave Esav. It brings Bittel into Esav. That Avoida is not so much to Avram Avinu, but more Yaakov. I'm just explain Bekitzer why. Avram Avinu's influence on the world was more that Avram himself had so much light that he attracts the Gerim. People come to him. But the Avoida of Birur and Zichuch HaOlam, going into the territory of those who do not come, not everybody comes, those who do not come, to go down into the territory to inspire them, that only comes through Yaakov. That's why Yaakov represents the Jewish people, that they're going to exile. Yaakov goes to Galus. He goes to Lavan, and he goes into Galus. Because Yaakov represents, it's a whole different Avoida than Avram. Avram stayed in Eretz Yisrael mainly. He went out briefly, but Yaakov went out. So therefore, it says, by the Jewish people, that Hashem has exiled the Jewish people into exile, kedei letoisis aleihem gerim, so that we will have gerim. So the question is, well, hold it. Why can't you do like Shlomo HaMelech? When Shlomo HaMelech was king, he had such powerful light living in Eretz Yisrael that he was attracting Gerim all the way from Ethiopia. The queen, Sheva, Malka Sheva, came all the way to him. So obviously, you can do it that way. And the answer is that you can only attract sparks that are attractable. But those sparks of holiness that are buried so far, so deep, so stuck in the klippa, so hard, you can't get them unless you come on to the site of where you need to do the birur. You can't do it remote control. You have to go boots on the ground. Okay, you got to get down in. You have to get down and dirty in order to do this birur. That's the avoid of Yaakov. Yaakov is the guy struggling with darkness. Kisarisa, he fights with the malach of Esav. And ultimately, Yaakov has to achieve complete victory over Esav. Very different than Avram Avinu. When Yaakov achieves that victory and he completes his battle, which this represents really the end of the Jewish people going through Golos Edom for hundreds of years, until we're able to complete our avoda in the bitter, in the rectification of Esav. So what happens then? Yaakov's name changes and his name is Yisrael. He says, what's the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael? Here a gavaldig inyan. Yaakov is gematria 182. That's the gematria of Yaakov. Yisrael is gematria 541. How much is 541 more than 182? The difference between the two is 359. You can do the math. I did it. Okay. So 359. 359 is gematria Satan. Esav and Satan is the same thing. The Satan is the Malach of Esav. When the Jewish people are able to do a bitter in Esav, rectify, elevate, transform through the long and bitter Golas Edom, we're able to overpower the Satan. So then, from Yaakov, which is 182, Yaakov still represents us in the time of the struggle. When we complete the struggle and we vanquish the Satan, so then Yaakov becomes, his name is Yisrael, which is 541. Being that this inyan is not going to be completed until Mashiach comes, even though Yaakov personally achieved it way back then, but it's not going to be fully completed, achieved until Mashiach comes. That's why today's days, if you can still call Yaakov, Yaakov, because we're not fully Yisrael until Mashiach comes. So again, Avram Avinu, the difference between Avram and Avraham, is talking about our control over our own bodies. Our control over our own bodies, benegay to a Yiddish guf, our own guf, that we can accomplish already now. That has been accomplished by Avram Avinu, and a Yid has the ability to be able to accomplish this. So therefore, already today, we're called Avraham, which represents the five organs, the five parts of the body that we have not yet conquered before, but now Avram has mastered it, and now a Yid is able to fuse his neshama and his guf, to be completely permeated with Kedusha. That's one thing. But in order to be able to achieve that same effect to our brother Esav, that's going to be a 3.5 millennia, 1,000 years of avoid of tikkun olam, of fixing the world. That's the avoid of Yaakov. That's why it's interesting. Benegeya to Avram, it says when Hashem changes his name, he says, Vahaya Shimcha Avram. Your name is now Avram. And it says the word Vahaya. This is the way it is, like we mentioned earlier. B'negeya to Yaakov, it says, V'lo yikare shimcha Yaakov, Elo Yisrael, Yiye Shemecha. Your name will be Israel. So even though Hashem named Yaakov Yisrael right then, but he says it b'loshen future. Yiye, not Vahaya. Yiye, it will be. Because this avoida of changing Esav, that's going to be mainly Yiye. That's going to be later. When is that going to be? When Mashiach comes. And when Mashiach comes, we know Hashem's name is also going to be Bayoimahu Yiye. Instead of Hashem's name being Yutke Vavke, Hashem's name is going to be Yutke Yutke. So that's when we're going to be named Yisrael completely, as we complete that avoida. So that's the difference between the changes of Avram's name and Yaakov's name. Now, just to complete, the Pasuk says in these brachas that I mentioned to you, and I said that the brachas are all Hashem, after the Pasuk that he changes his name, he says, V'efreisi oischa b'ma'oid ma'oid, I will increase you very, very much. So I mentioned earlier, right at the beginning of the class, that this inyan, as this inyan of his name being increased very, very much, is also related to Mashiach, because the word ma'oid ma'oid is a Mashiach dege inyan. Why is that? So again, the Tzemach Tzedek says that ma'oid, there's two ma'ods. There's two ma'ods. Ma'oid means because ma'od means a bracha that is limitless. Bracha that is limitless can come in two ways. One way is that there is a flow from above, a flow that comes without an end. It flows and flows and flows, very powerful. Another bracha that's b'li gvul, also a limited bracha, is momata lamaila, when a bracha comes infinite, but not from above, but from below. In other words, when we discover the godliness. What the difference? Put it in other words, the difference between Or Yashar and Or Chayzer. Or Yashar means light coming from above, from the higher realms, down. It flows endlessly. And but there's another ma'oid, is when we do a tikkun in the world, and energy starts going back from the lowest back to its source. That's the second ma'oid. So let me explain the difference between the two, just briefly. The first ma'oid, Avram is now doing his bris milah. I mentioned earlier, bris milah is shayach to the element of yisoid, because the bris is done in the human body. We know that the right hand is chesed, the left hand is gevura, the body is teferes, the right leg is hod, the right leg is netzach, the left leg is hod, and yisoid. And Yesod, that's the bris milah. So we find that the ability to have children is a hashpa that is really called is a hashpa beligvul. It's in why the only place you see in a human being where a human being has a touch of infinity to him is in the ability of procreation. Because like this, we're all finite. You know, we live as long as we live. And no matter what we do, no matter what we build, it all has a limit. But when the ability to have a child, when we have a child, that child will also have an ability to have children. And children, here we're tapping into something that is infinite, that is boundless, that goes on and on. And that's Dafke in Yesod. That's why we know that the tzaddikim, who is the tzaddik that represents Yesod? The tzaddik that represents Yesod is Yosef. Because, you know, Avram is chesed, Yitzchak, Yosef is Yesod. And that's why Yosef particularly has a nesayin. His test, his challenge, is a nesayin that has to do with morality. It has to do with the kedusha of the bris, of. So we find that by Yosef, his name is Yosef. Yosef means haisafa, to add. Now, what does adding mean? If you're adding the true addition means to add without an end. Add, add, add. So the power of the Yesod has the ability to be mamshech bracha b'li-b'li-gavol, without an element. That's why Avram Avinu, when he had his bris milah, now he removed the arla, the klipa from Yesod, So now the Hamshacha can flow. Avram can be a source of blessing. The Pasuk says, Ve'efreisi oischa, I will increase you ma'oid. That's the Hamshacha of Bli Gvul that's flowing downward. The second ma'oid comes from, that's not the Hamshacha that he's channeling down. The second ma'oid is, because we said earlier, one of the inyan of the Bris Milah is that now Avram can attract the sparks of holiness that are in the world and pull them. That's the second ma'oid. Because when we do a bitter in the world and we retract sparks that are buried in the creation and elevate them, that adds an or bligvul, that too is infinite. And that's the idea of where it says, for example, we find that when we plant, you see another thing that has a power, bligvul, is in the earth. When you plant seeds, the earth can grow and grow and grow and grow. That's weird. That's not coming from above. That's coming from the earth. The earth is the lowest point of creation. Dafka from Malchus, from the earth, that's where Bli Gvul Bracha comes. And that's the Bracha to Avram Avinu by the Bris Milah. Ma'oid, ma'oid. Two Bli Gvuls. Bli Gvul from above, Bli Gvul without a limit from below, as the two are fusing together. And that's why Hashem also promises Avram over here, Nesaticha Lagoyim, I will give you the great nations. We asked the question earlier, and it says that this is Yisrael and Edom, Yidden and Edom. Why is Edom a bracha? But this is referring to the transformation of Edom that's going to be when Mashiach comes, when Esav is going to become a ally of Yaakov, and then we know that Esav is going to give the Jewish people all the oireis to tell you, all the lights, the bligvul lights that Esav is connected to that Yaakov doesn't have. Because Yaakov is called Hakatan, the small one. Esav is Bnei HaGadol, the larger son, the son with all the powerful energies of Toyu that we know that the world couldn't handle. It was a Shviras HaKelim, but Esav is connected to them. So that's why through the Bris Milah, it's giving you the ability to make a bitter in Esav. Unasaticho, that's the idea of Unasaticho Lagoyim, Edoim as well. Umalachim Imchayetzeyu is Malchus Beis David, as we mentioned earlier. And I just want to conclude with one last idea, because I wanted to, as the Pasuk says in Pasuk Ches, I will give to you and your children the land. So first of all, when Hashem says, I will give to you and your children the land of your inheritance, is referring to, when is Hashem going to give Avram and his children the land of his inheritance? This is Tchias HaMesa. Because when is Avram going to be Yorish the land together with his children? And when is it going to be La'achuzas Oilam for eternal inheritance? Only by Tchias HaMesa. So here there is a remez that Avram Avinu is going to take the land with his children by Tchias HaMesa. And the words as Eretz Migurecha, this is so beautiful. It says the land of your, where you lived. The word Migurecha, in Hasidus it says, and this is what I'm saying now, comes from the Bnei Yisachar, but it says it in the Alter Rebbe brings it in Parshas Vayeshev as well. Migurecha comes from the word, not just the place where you lived, but Migurecha comes from the word where you've gathered. When you gather fruits, it's called Oiger. Oiger is someone who is gathering, let's say, figs, or gathering dates together. It's called Oiger. Hashem is saying, I'm going to give you the land of Eretz Yisrael because it's Eretz Migurecha. It's a land where you have gathered all the Nitzutzei Kedusha as a result of your Avodah, as a result of your Bris Milah, which enables you to do your to affect the world, to transform the world, and to pick up sparks of holiness, in which as Eretz Migurecha, for 2,500 or 3,500 years, you've gone around the entire globe. You've elevated and picked up spark after spark, nitzutz after nitzutz, whether it comes in a form of a Jew that you do a mitzvah with, you put on tefillin, you light Shabbos candles with. If it comes in a form of an object, a glass of water that you drink, and you make a shahakol niyah b'dvarei. Whether it comes of words that you speak Torah in English or in French or in any language as Jews speak. These are all Nitzutzei Kedusha, sparks of holiness. As Eretz Migurecha, you've gathered all that together to Eretz Yisrael, all the sparks of holiness. And that's why he says the Pasuk emphasizes the word S two times. S Eretz Migurecha, S Kol Eretz Kanan, because S represents the letters of Aleph through Tav. Aleph Tav, that's S. That means you've gathered all the Oisiyos. The Nitzutzei Kedusha, these are letters. These are oisiyos, all the words of Hashem that Hashem has spoken when he created the world, but these letters got stuck in Klipa. You've gathered all these letters as Eretz Mugurecha, as Kol Eretz Canaan, that refers to the entire land of Canaan, including the three countries that are going to be only when Mashiach comes. La'achuzas oilam, this is going to be yours for an eternal inheritance. Va'yisi lahem lelekim, I will be your, after you complete that avoda, I will be your God. Is referring to the way we're going to be after Mashiach comes, when Hashem is going to designate His name on each and every one of us, just like now Hashem designates His name by saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. When Mashiach will come, it's going to be Elokei Gatzel and Elokei Shmerel and Elokei Yankel and Elokei every single person. Why? Because when Mashiach comes, there won't be any more Yetzirah, and therefore godliness is going to be fully manifest in each and every one of us. So if I have another moment, I want to share just one tiny thought, which is really, really interesting. The Zohar says that we find that by many tzaddikim, that Hashem, that the name is mentioned twice. Noach, Noach. Ela told us, Noach, Noach is tzaddik. His name is mentioned twice. By Avram, it says, Avram, Avraham. By Yaakov, it says, Yaakov, Yaakov. By Moshe, it says, Moshe, Moshe. The only one the Zohar says, not the only one, but the only one that, I mean, from these, that should have been, but it doesn't mention, is Yitzchak. It doesn't say Yitzchak twice. So the Zohar is a fascinating Zohar. The Zohar says, the reason is, because every person has two neshamas. One neshama they have during their lifetime now, and one neshama they're going to have, la'asid lavoi, when Mashiach will come. So that's why it says two times their name, because one is Noach of now, Noach of the future. Yaakov of now, Yaakov of the future. Moshe of now, Moshe of the future. But Yitzchak, it doesn't say twice. Why? Because by Akedas Yitzchak, Yitzchak's neshama left him. He died. And when he had Tchias HaMesim, the Zohar says he got already his future neshama. So Yitzchak is already living now, already his future life. That's why by Yitzchak it doesn't say Yitzchak, Yitzchak, because he's already the full Yitzchak. He has already now the full Yitzchak. And that's what the Zohar concludes. What's Negea Lin Yonenu? Negea to what I was saying earlier. The Zohar concludes that's why the only person that Hashem trusts and calls, that says Elokei Yitzchak during his lifetime, was only Yitzchak. You don't find that Hashem should say Elokei Avram during his lifetime or Elokei Yaakov, because you can't trust anybody. Only Yitzchak. Why? Because once Yitzchak already is living with the neshama of the future, at that time it's not shayach anymore, Yetzahara. It's not shayach anymore for a person to trip, to fall, to make a mistake. That's why it's so. When it says in our pasuk, "Vayisi lahem lelekim," I will be your God. That means that Hashem is going to say, "Elokei Yankel, Elokei Shmerel, Elokei whatever." Every single one of us. Why? Because by that time we're going to be living already like Yitzchak Avinu, with that futuristic neshama, with that eternal. So this says, you see that these psukim are mamish saturated with the light of Mashiach. May we merit that from this Rosh Chodesh Kislev should be already David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam Moilad HaLavana, and the ultimate birth of the Jewish people, and a big Yomtiv, and the ultimate Yomtiv should be a really a Chodesh HaGa'ula, and a Chag HaGa'ula, and a Rosh Chodesh HaGa'ula. May we merit to see Mashiach take it from a Yad now.